irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on September 7th, 2017.
Finally, right? A little break from the heat, right?
Yeah.
Now. My goodness.
My dogs are happy about it.
I'll bet they are, yeah.
Boy, oh boy, I feel so badly because, you know, they have to stay in all the time and they're used to going out and walking. And
yeah.
They have the backyard, but that's different than a walk. So.
Right.
They look at me like, really? Another?
Daddy, can't you control the weather?
Exactly.
Come on.
But at any rate, yes.
Well, it is a beautiful day here in Los Angeles, and we have quite a show coming up, don't we, Michael?
We do indeed. We have some wonderful people in studio, and we will be talking about the Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles' production of Sugar, the stage musical version of the classic Hollywood film Some Like It Hot.
That's right. This one-night-only concert will take place at Glendale's Alex Theater on September 24th, and we'll be opening the Guild's 22nd season.
Can you imagine that?
22nd
season. That's
pretty amazing.
Season.
What a great tradition.
Yeah, amazing. We are privileged to have two of the stars of Sugar with us here today. Please welcome Melissa Phan and Zachary Ford.
Yeah. Welcome both. Welcome.
Yeah,
glad to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Obviously, before we talk to these amazing performers, we're going to pay some bills. Yeah, Michael?
Yes, I think
we're
going to
get back to the meat of the show in a minute.
Excuse me. You want to take the first one?
Absolutely. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit breakdownexpress.com.
Yes, indeed. And we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
That's right. Obviously, two great sponsors who do so much for the arts here in Los Angeles. Michael, we're going to talk more about Sugar here in a little bit, but before we do, how was your week? You busy?
Yeah, busy, but theatrically speaking, just working on a show that we're getting ready to open, we being 3D Theatricals.
Of course.
And a show that one of our guests has starred in, Young Frankenstein. Mel
That's
Brooks'
right.
Young Frankenstein.
A great musical.
Yeah.
Right? Zach,
so,
was that a blast to work on?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's yeah. We had fun on that show. He was
Absolutely.
Amazing in this role.
Zach,
it's a great
thank
role.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and the guy they got playing it at 3D Theatricals is fantastic.
Yes.
Cool.
I'm excited to see him do it.
Very cool. Sounds like a fun show. Of course, they're coming right off Spamalot, so the laughs are abounding with 3D Theatricals this season, huh?
Yeah, and that comes. We open in October, so we're excited about that. And there's some interesting news coming up about 3D Theatricals anyway that I haven't released yet. But so it's been a big PR week for me.
Great.
More
so
than
busy.
Usual.
Yeah. Busy and running around.
And what about you?
Good. It's been a busy week. Obviously, we've got a lot of stuff going on. Amazing arts here in Southern California. John Williams' concert was down in Pasadena, which was fantastic. Lots of cool stuff going on. My kids started back at school, which means my life is in upheaval. I can't figure out where I'm supposed to be and when. I look down, I don't see any children with me, and I think, oh, no, I've lost them again. What am I going to do? But then I realize, no, they're safe at school, which is a nice thing. So.
Where was the John Williams concert?
It was in Pasadena.
I
don't remember what
is it the outdoor venue there?
Yeah, it's a big outdoor venue. I can't remember what they technically called it, but it was right during the fire, of course. So there was a lot of distraction going on, a lot of hard stuff. And I had some friends who were supposed to join us that night and couldn't make it just because of the way the fire was burning and all that sort of thing. So obviously our good wishes go out to everybody who was dealing with that. I think they have it mostly under control now.
There's
too.
Something, so. Huh? All the flooding in Texas and the fire here, incredible. Which we always
no
see
doubt
to
about
have.
It, Zach. No doubt, yeah. It's interesting, too, when you realize, you know, I mean, when these tragedies strike, and of course, people in Florida right now are taping up their windows. I have an aunt who has three dogs, and she says, I'm not going to put them on the road. She says, we're going to stay here. We're going to tough it out, which they've done multiple times. But it all depends on which way those winds turn at the last moment. All our technology, and we're still at the mercy of nature. So.
And still holding the record for a number of, 49 inches?
Wow.
Of
rainfall? Unbelievable.
In the continental United States, it's a record.
Amazing.
For the time period. Yeah, it is. But God bless him. And I noticed in the news today, I guess some of the churches are actually suing FEMA for their lack of support of trying to save these churches.
Wow. Yeah. My goodness. Well, obviously, there's a lot going on. Our well wishes go to anybody who's in peril right now, but stay safe out there. And, of course, you know, live theater right now, there's so many good benefits going on, so many people doing things for nonprofit organizations.
Absolutely.
Theater community really knows how to jump in and do some good and raise some money, which is a great thing, too.
And I think I'm not going to make this a positive statement, but I believe that Walmart, through their efforts, raised some $25 million.
Unbelievable.
For
this
great effort. Yeah.
Of course, my brother works in athletics, and he was telling me about how one of the professional football teams, I believe is the Houston Texans, one of their stars, J.J. Watt, he set a goal of something like $1 million and ended up raising 10 times that and then re-upping his goal each time.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's nice to see Americans give and people step up and really do some good work.
Well, I hope some of that was out of his own pocket.
Now, Michael, you and I have been talking here for quite a while, and while my name's on the show, as is yours, I think they're here to hear other people today. What do you think?
I think so.
Let's introduce the man sitting to your left there.
Okay. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, had an extensive career as a voice actress. Is that where we're going?
I think we should. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
Okay. You're right.
Yes. Okay. Let me start that over again. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, has had an extensive career as a voice actress and singer. She had voice characters in anime dubs for shows including the Betty Boop Movie Mystery. How great is that? Cowboy Bebop, Invader Zim, Mega Man, Star Force, Digimon, Eureka 7, and she is the voice of Neptune in the Hyperdimension Neptunia series.
Wow. You've also heard her vocal talents in other animation series, including Wild Thornberries and the Ren and Stimpy Show. Now, be careful, I'm going to sing Happy, Happy, Joy, Joy if you're not careful.
Oh, my God.
On the small screen, she is best known for playing Esmeralda on the NBC soap opera Passions. And on the big screen, she stars in the recently released Tick, Tock, Boom, Clap.
She's performed on stage worldwide in shows such as West Side Story, which earned her a Best Actress Critics Circle nomination, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Kismet, Grease, Little Abner, Anything Goes, Gilligan's Island, the musical. They actually made that?
They did.
And
they did it in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, my goodness. Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain, where she was an Ovation Award nominee, Hal Prince's 3 at the Amundsen, and No, No, Nanette, among countless others. And her vocal talents aren't limited to the stage and screen. In 2007, she released her debut jazz music album, Avignon.
Beautiful.
And you know what? We have a little track for that.
We do. Really? Shall we play that now?
We should, because I think what we're going to be talking about is her role in Sugar, which was created by one Miss Marilyn Monroe in the movie.
Absolutely.
And
I've heard of
this
her.
Track Fairly is kind well. Of, when I heard it, I said, we have to play this on the show because it kind of sounds very Marilyn-ish.
Uh-oh. Are we going to bring a little sex on the show today, Michael?
we brought it already. It's already here.
All right. Well, let's listen to a little bit here. Yeah. This is called Making the Saint. I think I'm old enough to listen to this.
Dancing for creation. And
yeah, you are. Well, you'll be younger by the time when you finish.
I seem divided, and I'm craving what I fear. For one night as I'm watching, I will join and disappear.
Yeah,
wow.
Talk about sexy.
See, now, I'd originally
right?
I thought we were going to do Zach first, but then we put this beautiful track in here. This is why we should have done you second. I don't know that we're ever going to get our audience back from that. My goodness.
We're
all going to run out and buy this album right now. That is a serious track. My
Thank
goodness.
You.
Now,
Thank
how did
you.
This album come into existence?
The album came into existence. It
I should preface that that song is written and produced by Joel Alpers, my wonderful husband.
Yes. Nice to work together, for sure.
Musician, producer, drummer extraordinaire, and husband extraordinaire.
Wow.
And daddy extraordinaire.
Wow.
Too. It was a personal journey to put together an album following experiences that we shared and that we came together, but before we were together, all of our life experiences kind of came into that album, and we had gone through some sad and traumatic times, and said, you know what, let's do an album, let's do it. This is when they say to to write an album, and we did, and it just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and it was wonderful.
That's
and
beautiful.
We still get so much response from all over the world when we see, oh, it was just bought in Germany, or it was just bought in China, and I'll get fan mail or emails, and it's really an incredible thing.
Yeah.
when you put something so personal out there, and people are listening to it, and they have their own personal journey with it.
Right.
So that's a
Where
wonderful
Where can people
thing.
Find this?
They can find it on CD Baby and on iTunes.
And so if they type in Avignon, or if they type in your name, obviously, mm-hmm. and your last name, of course, is spelled F-A-H-N,
exactly.
correct? Pronounced Fawn, but
and
spelled
we should
it.
Say that yes. She has performed music from the album at the star-studded Hollywood Art for Life benefits, the 88th Cabaret Series in Hollywood, Room 5, and countless other venues throughout Southern California. And she also headlined her own one-woman show, Growing Up Girl, at Sterling's Upstairs at
yes,
the Federal
Michael,
in
yes.
North Hollywood, in the NoHo Arts District there.
Yes.
And Andrew, as a concert vocalist, as you know, she's performed at the Hollywood Bowl for Stephen Sondheim's 75th celebration at the Ford Amphitheater for
wow.
Valley Musical Theater, and was featured as the coloratura soloist for the international multimedia sensation Vox Lumiere.
Wow.
Lumiere.
Wow.
Voice of Light.
Yes, I was very sorry that I didn't see that. She also appeared as the soprano soloist with the Royal London Philharmonic on Charles Fernandez's album Songs from a Child's Point of View.
Wow. She, of course, is a member of the original Broadway cast of Wicked and a featured vocalist on the Grammy Award-winning Cast Adam album, understudied by Kristen Chenoweth, who, of course, I've met and loved so much. I tell you, there are very few people I like immediately, and you and Kristen both have that about you. There's
Thank
no
you.
Doubt about
well,
it.
That's
so.
It. But I should say, I understudied Kristen.
Yeah.
Not understudied by. Like, what? Wow.
Now, that
I've
was in
arrived.
The world of Gilda, is that correct?
Yes, with
wow.
Glinda. Yes,
Glinda, of course. Yeah.
Gilda.
And of course,
yeah.
you sang the role of Glinda in the Wicked Broadway and Bryant Park concert. Is that correct?
Yes.
Your
yes.
affiliation with Wicked continued in a record-breaking Los Angeles cast, where she performed the role of Glinda to great acclaim.
Well, better than that, she's here today.
That's right, she is.
Not only her storied career in musical theater, but her also upcoming titled starring role for the Musical Theater Guild's production of Sugar. Please welcome one more time a true triple threat, the lovely and very gifted Melissa Fawn.
Yeah,
thank
welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Thank
I tell you,
so,
so good
much.
To see you here. And obviously, our audience will not let you, like, they won't let
crowd.
You speak. They love you too much.
What a crowd.
Now, here's the deal. I sat last night and I listened to as many of these tracks as I could find.
Gosh.
And I was struck not only by your vocal variety that you can sing, you obviously have a wide range, but also so many of your songs are about character. They have character in them. Is that part of being an actress, is that you sing songs, you're attracted to songs that just have character kind of running through them?
I think so, for me personally. And you know, when you are... When you're picking songs, whether you're doing a live show, like I did at the Federal for
right.
Michael, or when you're taking on a part, it's the songs that are an extension of your character. It's yet another monologue, but it just happens to be put to music. And
yeah.
if you can connect to those characters in the dialogue and in the music, then the richer it is. And to find you know, the honesty and the integrity of each character, whether it's one blonde bombshell or another blonde bombshell. We might, you know, you bring something different to each one, and the music elevates you to another level of finding those characters.
And Glinda, of course, is one of those characters that, you know, is so embedded in so many people now, because she really did change the direction of musical theater.
Yeah.
That must have been a blast to work on.
It was incredible. And to have been such a part of it, you know, from the very, very, very beginning to the early,
right,
you know, workshops and readings with Stephen Schwartz, like before
wow.
we even did the out-of-town tryout, we did 2 years of readings and workshops. And, you know, that was an incredible journey. But, yes, to watch the two characters, to watch, you know, and we had different Elphabas before it was Adina, and in the workshops and the readings. And, you know, it was just incredible to watch and watch what those two girls brought to the characters. And I felt like we all went to Shiz University together. We all kind of grew up and went through the trenches and, you know, went to school. And it was an incredible journey that I will never forget.
Wow. You know, that show has been so good to so many people.
It
right?
has, you're
yeah,
right.
In our business.
Oh, yes.
Musical theater. And in particular, my vested interest in saying this is LA's Next Great Stage Star, which I produce every year. And
mm-hmm.
we're now coming into year 12.
Oh my gosh, Mark.
And Chelsea Emma Franco, I'm sure you know Chelsea.
Oh, yes.
Another alumni.
Just gone
yeah.
through her, all of that boot camp that you were saying.
Yes.
She is standby for Elphaba.
Isn't that great?
In New York. And it's been great for some of our male contestants who have gone in as Derek Klena, for example.
Interesting.
You know, Derek.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And Jonah Platt, who have gone into the role of Fiorro. And
wow.
it's... You know, how stunning is that?
It's the gift
that keeps
on giving. One of
the biggest shows
giving.
In the history of Broadway.
Yeah, it just it's that train going down the track. It just keeps going and going, and it's a beautiful thing, you know, to be a part of. I feel like it was a long time ago for me. No, but
would
it
you
was
go back if they called upon you?
Well, sure. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Just don't put me on that rake.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Ooh, we were just talking about that. No,
right.
No, I'd go back to the rake because that's Broadway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, obviously, we talked a little bit about you working with Kristen and yeah. understudying her in the role initially, but then you took over the role and you had to do it every night. Was that a challenge or was that exciting?
Well, I didn't take over it and do it every night.
Okay.
I covered Megan Hilty out here, and then I went on and performed out here in Los Angeles more than I did.
And did you
in
New tour
York.
With it continuing after that?
No, you know, it's funny because when I left the Broadway company, I came home to LA and my husband and I bought a house and we were just, you know, settling in. I had been away for, you know, all that time
right.
at the show, and they called and said, oh, we're putting the tour together. Do you want to do it? And they offered me the tour. And I said, no.
Wow.
I said, I want to stay home. This is why I came home, to be home for a while. But they said, okay, don't worry. We're going to have an LA company, and you'll be in the LA company, which I did. But then when the tour came out to Los Angeles
right.
for the very first time, before they even set LA company, they sat at the Pantages for a couple of months, and they called me and they said, would you come and fill in for a couple of singers and do their tracks? And I said, sure I'll do it. And I got to do Wicked at Home then.
Oh, that's
then,
great.
Yeah, so it's been an amazing journey, you know, to be a part of that show and a part of my career and a part of my life. And I made friends that, you know, who are going to be lifelong friends. It's like, you know, going to school,
sure.
like going to college.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
But yeah, the opportunity was great, and I'll always be grateful for that.
What a lovely thing to be able to remember out of your career, having something that specific and important in the world of musical theater. And I do say that because that company is out there somewhere in the world.
Everywhere. It's
everywhere.
And to be such a huge part of it, I mean, obviously from the beginning of it, you know, to be from there, from the inception of it, is a really cool thing. But it was interesting, too, because there's so many great things that you've been working on. Of course, we've talked about the album a little bit. And, of course, Sugar coming up, which
yes.
is a one-night event.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people have seen this musical. I know I certainly hadn't before I'd heard about this. It's a stage adaptation of the movie, or it's the story from the movie of Some Like It Hot. Is that
exactly
correct?
Exactly. Yes, wow. It is. And I've never seen the musical either. Have you ever seen the musical?
I've not. No.
I don't even recall ever even hearing it was produced anywhere.
I have seen the musical, but it went through a name change, and it was
really?
In San Francisco, yes. And starring one Mr. Tony Curtis.
Someday I want a list of musicals you haven't seen, and I'm just going to go see those, because there's not many of them.
And it was Some Like It Hot, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
So cool.
Sorry to say that it was pretty dreadful.
Wow. Mm.
It didn't make it. He was, iconic, of course.
Of course.
And that's what was, on the marquee, and that's why people were going to see it.
Of course.
Sure.
But it was a very, it was tough for him to get through the show. You could just tell.
Mm.
And, he looked good, but
well,
it was
course.
Tough for him to maneuver
wow.
and do what he needed to do. And yeah. The young lady that played Marilyn Monroe probably was the standout of the show just because of that particular reason and because he had no one else that he would be playing off of. I think
wow.
he was too much in his head and
yeah.
too
concerned about what he might not do or forget a line or that kind of thing because it wasn't in his wheelhouse. This,
oh, wow.
There's a lot at stake.
Sure.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So true.
And
so
people true. Are coming to see you and you've yeah. made the movie and that's
of
the
course.
Impression they're wanting. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
at any rate,
stakes,
but it was,
yes.
I'm glad I saw it.
Well, yeah. I listened to some of the tracks the other night, and Sugar has some really fun tracks. And no pressure playing a part played by Marilyn Monroe. Wow. Hey, have fun
no,
with that.
She plays a lot of blondes.
I do. Look, I play a lot of blondes.
Yeah.
It's what I do. And if anyone out there knows me, they know that I'm a little, brunette.
Yeah.
Who wears very high platform shoes. Just, but, it's crazy. A lot of times I get cast as the tall blonde.
Wow.
And I'm not the tall blonde. But there's, I remember one of the first things I did when I thought, oh, there's something to this, was when I did The Sunshine Boys opposite Ed Asner and Harold Gould.
Oh, my goodness.
As the Sunshine
wow.
Boys.
Wow.
And they cast me as the tall blonde nurse. So, I had the blonde wig. I had the, shoes, everything. I had the nurse's outfit,
wow.
you name it, that was it. But I thought, there's something to this. I get to transform completely to something that is so opposite. I mean, I think innately there are things inside of me, but come on, I'm taking my kid to school every day.
Right.
I'm not sugar cane.
You get to be sugar for a little while. Yeah.
But a couple years ago.
You even say it correctly.
Yeah, a couple years ago, we did Gentlemen Prefer Blondes for a Musical Theater Guild, and I
yes.
played Lorelai.
Yes, you did.
And, I didn't want to do Marilyn. And I think with that part, you can't help but think, oh God,
right.
Marilyn, and Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend,
mm-hmm.
and all that. So I think I tried to tap into an essence of Marilyn on that one, but so did not want to do an impersonation. I did not want to do that. And I think with this character, with Sugar, I don't even, there might be a little essence, but I think there's more freedom
mm-hmm.
in this character. This part is a little different, it's going to be fun to challenge myself and dive in there.
You've got a wonderful director, Kristen Chandler.
Oh, very nice,
and
yeah.
And choreography by Wendy Rosa.
Of course.
And musically being directed by Jan Roper and
mm-hmm.
Under the production supervision of our friend Eileen Barnett.
A lot of talent there. My goodness.
Star
wow.
there
yeah.
herself.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And as part of Musical Theater Guild's commitment to engage younger generations in the arts, a portion of the tickets to Sugar, Andrew, will be allocated free of charge to underserved.
Undeserved. I was going to get in line, man. I'm ready to go.
You can't come in. I'm sorry. You can't.
underserved school.
And there certainly are a lot of those right now. We've talked about how much good is being done by the theater community. Musical Theater Guild has done these for 22 years now, and they do one-night concerts of lesser-known musicals to expose people, first of all, to that musical, which is great with this one because there are a lot of valuable things in there that shouldn't disappear. But more importantly, to donate to a nonprofit or to a cause. What a great way to serve, and it's a great night of entertainment.
It is,
it's a huge
indeed.
Space. The Alex Theater is a beautiful space to work in. So.
To attend, ladies and gentlemen, we'll say this one more time before we, the end of the program. The Alex Theater is located at 216 North Brand Boulevard in downtown Glendale. A beautiful facility. Season and single tickets are available by visiting alextheater.org or by calling 818-243-ALEX. Additional information on Musical Theater Guild can be found at musicaltheaterguild.com.
And obviously, Sugar, we're talking about right now. It's the one night only, September 24th. That's a Sunday at 7 p.m., so a great chance to get out early in the evening.
Some great restaurants
some
in
dinner.
The area
that's
there.
That's
go
right.
early,
yeah.
have some lovely food and conversation, and see a great show.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Would you hang with us while we do a live arts calendar and talk to the fine-looking gentleman to your right?
Of course.
Good. We should turn our attention briefly, Michael, to another fantastic show coming to us right here in the Southland, Masterclass.
Yes, indeed, we should. And inspired by the world-renowned opera diva Maria Callas' magnificent Juilliard Masterclass series, Terrence McNally's Tony Award-winning play spotlights the tour de force artist and vulnerable woman known as La Divina.
Join Callas as she relentlessly coaxes, prods, and edifies her young students, motivating them to give the performances of their lives while revealing her humor, her demons, and her genius.
Masterclass, the first production of the inaugural season for the newly formed nonprofit Gary Marshall Theater, will star Emmy winner Carolyn Hennessy as the legendary Callas.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are on sale now for the limited 5-week run of September 22nd through October 22nd.
For tickets or more information, you can call 818-955-8101 or visit Gary Marshall Theater. That's theater with an RE.org.
What a tremendous show, and this is such an opportunity to see great theater with a stellar cast. And now let's bring our second guest back in so we can hear more about his role in the upcoming One Night Only Concert of Sugar with Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles.
That's right. He received his BFA from the Theater Conservatory of the Chicago College of Performing Arts at Roosevelt University. He has been seen recently with 3D theatricals as Curly in Oklahoma and also as Britt Craig in their Ovation Award-winning production of Parade. He appeared in Young Frankenstein and Spamalot, and with the Musical Theater West. He also appeared in Camelot with Pasadena Playhouse and Bye Bye Birdie with Cabrillo Music Theater.
He also appeared in the Las Vegas touring production of Spamalot and appeared in Dear World, starring Tyne Daly at the Valley Performing Arts Center, at which I was at. He was in the original cast of Heathers, Loving Repeating, and Empire Burlesque.
That's right. He can be heard on the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra's recording of West Side Story, the original cast recording of Loving Repeating, and the Cole Porter Archives recording of Something for the Boys.
He's also appeared with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Colony Theater, Arizona Theater Company, Colorado Shakespeare Festival, Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Marriott Theater, and Appletree Theater. Let's welcome him once again to the studio, the very talented, good-looking man, Zachary Ford.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I know you've been well-reviewed by hundreds of people. I know that you're known across the country. My little boy liked you, and that's really all that matters, man. That's what you got going for you, brother. You can put that on your resume if you want.
I appreciate that.
7-year-old audience is locked up, man. You're good to go. We saw you as Curly. Of course, we loved your performance with 3D Theatricals as Curly. And that was a fun production. It had a whole lot of really positive reviews saying how this was something that hadn't been done this way before, incorporating Native America folklore in the beginning of it, which I thought was very cool, too.
Your co-star, Julia Axe,
who was great.
Yes,
great.
So much fun.
She's wonderful.
She likes you, by the way, man. She was a big fan of yours. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's nice.
She said nice things. We tried to change her mind. We said, really? I don't know. But no, she stuck to her gun. She liked you guys a lot. So it was interesting to watch that production. Did you enjoy being a part of something that was non-traditional as far as such a traditional piece?
Absolutely. It was nice to return to a piece that has a reputation for being a little overdone, and being able to see it anew, it felt really good.
Completely revisit it.
It was exciting to take that show, and there were a lot of persons of color in the cast who were playing their ethnic and cultural heritages, and rather than just colorblind casting, which I also obviously we want to support that, but it was nice to go back and actually look at things how they may have actually been since that area of that territory of the United States was such a
melting pot, it really was.
My teacher in school used to call it a salad bowl versus a melting pot because everybody is actually still maintaining their own individual identities.
There was no doubt about that. But there was also a lot of strays, people who came in not knowing their own heritage, right? I mean, Oklahoma was a place where people could come, maybe if they've been ostracized on the East Coast, they could come and show up and grab a piece of land and make a homestead, even if they didn't know who their parents were kind of thing. They had no connection, which I thought was interesting too. And this production particularly, of course, as you said, a number of people of color, but also that influence of Native American heritage in the opening, I thought was very true to Oklahoma then as well as now.
Yeah, it was a beautiful way to start the show and really put us in the correct context.
Right.
Yeah, everything about it was beautiful and so wonderfully received by the audiences, I think, as well. I mean, perhaps shocking to some and others not so shocking and kind of grateful, you know, that it was being presented this way. So it certainly made it more interesting. That was my opinion.
Yeah, it's always a great opportunity to help educate people if they were shocked by it, too.
So wake them up a little bit.
That's interesting. Well, in Oklahoma, like you said, everybody knows the music. It's been done a number of times. If you haven't seen it, then you're probably in the minority. But this production was different than anything else. And 3D Theatricals, of course, is doing that with a lot of things right now.
Well, they always have their stamp, you know, on what they do. They turn it, they twist it a little bit to make it, you know, their own, which is kind of refreshing. And something that T.J. Dawson, the executive artistic director and executive producer, does very well.
That's right.
As he did certainly with Spamalot and bringing in the wonderful woman who directed that.
Carol Bentley.
Yes, Carol. She was amazing. And that whole show, I'd never seen the show before.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of the few that I haven't. And it was just from the very first moment, you know, to the very last moment. It was a laugh a minute and just beautiful to look at. Unbelievable performances.
Right.
And the audiences were lapping it up like I haven't seen it in a long time at a musical piece like that. But you have to also appreciate that kind of humor. And I certainly do. So,
well, now, Zach, you've obviously worked extensively as a musical theater performer, but you're also a Shakespearean aficionado, yeah? Do you have some favorite Shakespeare roles you've done recently?
I haven't gotten to do much since I came to Los Angeles with Shakespeare. But
that would be very traditional in Los Angeles. Not much Shakespeare going around anymore.
There are some great companies, but
absolutely.
I haven't had the pleasure to work with them yet. But I did get to do some when I was... when Chicago was my home base, I got to travel out to Colorado and do a summer in Boulder and at the Colorado Shakespeare Festival, and then a couple shows at Colorado Shakespeare Theater.
Cool.
Navy Pier there.
Did you have a favorite role?
Sorry, Chicago Shakespeare Theater.
They're all too good.
They're all great in their own way. I did a company of Cymbeline, which is a lesser well-known show. It's problematic, but we did a production at Colorado Shakespeare Festival that our director Joel Fink managed to tinker with in such a way that I think it presented a pretty wonderful story, and I played Arviragus in that. People say his name differently because
they do.
scans differently depending on so you kind of have to choose a pronunciation.
The iambic changes it drastically.
Exactly.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Well, now how does that compare? Obviously, the role you're playing here in Sugar is a much different role than the kind of traditional sort of classical theater.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you got involved with this production, and how do you decide to take a role like that that's one night? You get a limited amount of rehearsal. You carry the script with you for a staged reading. But you guys, this ain't a staged reading. This is virtually a full performance from the actor's perspective, right? I mean, you're giving everything out there. In fact, most of the times I look and I see the the actors, they almost want to set their script down, of course, because you're so into the character. This is a beautiful show. How did you decide to do it, and what did you think of the character?
Our contract, we do carry our scripts, but and people work in different ways, but I can't really get into it until I'm essentially off book.
Right.
It's a just a really fun opportunity that presented itself. This type of show in general is so much about the circumstances that the characters find themselves in are just completely absurd.
But when happened to me just the other day. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I remember. I saw you.
That's right.
But when you can fully commit to those circumstances, there's just so much fun stuff to find, and it also marries with having 25 hours of rehearsal.
Right,
that you have to commit fully to these, regardless of the type of show. And so when you can pair them together and marry them into this way, it's a lot of fun.
Some might think we're crazy to take this on.
Maybe confirmed.
But you're in the theater only one day. Yes,
okay.
I mean
that's
one
correct.
Day as far as the rehearsal, putting it all together in that one day
on the stage.
On
yes.
the stage,
yeah, we basically come in and re-space the show
before
on the stage, and then we do the performance then.
Yeah. And is it mandatory, even though that you have to be holding your scripts by the union rules here?
Yes, we have to at least have it because of this type of contract.
Right. But I'm saying if you can't even set it down for a minute.
Oh yeah, you can.
Oh, okay.
You can set it down like we have in musical numbers. A lot of times we'll put it on the ground or on a.
There's a little leniency during blocks of song, but in general, you have to have it on your person.
Well, as an audience member, I see they disappear. I mean, the scripts, even though they're holding them, they just become a part, like a binder or what have you, that somebody's carrying around. And it's amazing, because I think most qualified performers would feel this way. I don't want the script. It's a hindrance. If I have the words in front of me, I'm not totally into the character. So
especially
I think
if you
most people
lose
feel
your
that
place.
Way. Absolutely. Very true. Very true.
Speaking of musicality and his beautiful voice, we have a little track here that we pulled from a live performance that you did. Yeah, Don't Tell Mama.
Okay.
And, which is a nightclub here in Los Angeles.
That's
at
right.
At one point, we play just a little bit of
this. Is called Second Chance,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, from Steel Pure.
And again, this is a live performance of Zachary Ford.
Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And dance break.
Yeah.
And
like
much
that.
Like Michelle's, that song is about finding a chocolate truffle.
Another meaningful lyric, obviously, something that needs to be. It's so funny. I mean, for me, I mean, live performance is so tough as it is, but in a club atmosphere, I mean, you've got to grab them from the moment. What a great song for that, too. You know, it's
thanks.
Like they got to be listening. Do you do a lot of that?
For a while, I was doing a lot of it.
You tour with a show like that? I mean, like, do you develop the show and tour with it yourself to do solo performances?
I've not.
It's an interesting thing because it seems like it fits you very well.
Try.
So.
Thank you.
Right? I'll bet. Yeah, get him up to Sterling.
Thank you.
That's a challenging thing. It's a challenging thing to write your own
it
show
is.
And put
yeah.
it up, and
it
it's scary.
Yeah.
But once you do it.
But for anybody approaching new material, and I know just from the clips that I watched of you while I was putting the script together, you have such a love for so many different kinds of performances, it seems like. You've certainly done a wide range of theater. It's interesting to see performers tell their own story. And I think that's something that bodes very well for musical theater performers, because you can capture them with your vocal style and then tell your personal story. It doesn't work quite as well for a straight actor who just wants to get up there and do a monologue about his life. You know, the music really draws somebody in. That was such a great example of that, too. So,
thanks.
Well, perhaps one day we'll see him on
get him up
stage
there on the stage. That's right.
At Federal. His wife agrees with me.
Very nice.
Very much, right? Every
she
time
does.
We see each other.
Yeah.
Well, for now, obviously, people can go to see him in Sugar, which of course both of our guests are in. And this is, again, a one-night-only event on Sunday, September 24th this year at 7 p.m., of course, in the Alex Theater, located at 216 North Brand Boulevard in Glendale, California.
And the phone number, did you give? 818-243-2539. And tickets are very reasonable. And again, it's a beautiful space to see a show like this in. It's a very ornate and classic historic venue in Los Angeles. And just stop in at musicaltheaterguild.com to investigate tickets, and or go to the alextheater.org.
And again, with a 7 p.m. performance, I mean, you get to go see two amazing performers, and you get to see essentially a Broadway quality staged reading here in Los Angeles at a wonderful date and time in a beautiful theater.
Absolutely.
As well. So,
and
yeah.
So let's talk to you a little bit more about your character, because you are playing the Tony Curtis character, right?
That's right.
So we talked about the Marilyn Monroe, you know, not bringing so much of that, but staying in her own wheelhouse. Melissa, what is your take on this role?
I don't know. It's funny that I guess you find yourself in kind of archetypes. I'm sort of answering your questions.
It's okay.
Already,
you feel free to answer whatever question
actually,
you like anyway. So.
The last time Melissa and I worked together, it was in a musicalized version of a Tony Curtis film. And we played opposite each other in that. Wasn't he in Sweet Smell?
Yeah, Sweet Smell of Success. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm finding that I'm falling into a pattern here.
which was fantastic, actually, that
thank
I remember
you.
Seeing.
That was a powerful piece, Zach.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You were fantastic
thank you.
In
you
that.
Too. Thank you. I don't know if the kinds of choices that I like to make, I guess, lend themselves to these characters, but...
Would you even contemplate, oh, gosh, I haven't seen the movie in a long time, or maybe you've never seen it at all, but would you see it if you felt like you needed to see it?
I might have before deciding to come in. At this point, mm-hmm. I would probably try to make it just making my own choices.
Right.
If I did see, particularly since he's so iconic, seeing something like that, it would be hard to mm-hmm. get it out of my head and make it my own. I'll make some choices, and if the director wants to push me another direction, it'll be easier for her to do that if mm-hmm. I haven't seen it,
right.
And still have it be genuine and come for me.
How good of you.
So.
Michael, I don't know if you've terrified our guest or not yet. Do they know what's coming up?
I don't know. Is it now?
And now, embarrassing moments.
It must be now. The voice of God said so.
That's right.
So. Melissa, Zachary, do you guys have a moment in your performing career, something that was embarrassing or hard to get through, that might remind our younger performers that anything that happens, you can still be able to get through it if you just keep pushing forward? They both got up and left the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
You mean this right now? No.
We've had a couple on this show.
No.
Yeah. But Michael has a good story, too. So, Zachary, what do you got?
I met Melissa's tremendous husband, Joel, doing Spamalot.
Just to clarify, she only has the one husband, not a tremendous one and a not tremendous one, right?
No.
Okay, good. Just check. All right.
He is tremendously tremendous. Though.
Excellent.
during that production, there was a moment. Musical Theater West had bought the sets and costumes from the Broadway production.
Sure.
So they continue to be amazing, but they had been sitting in a box for a little while, and the character I was playing gets up on these 2-foot articulated stilts at one point.
Yikes.
Wearing like 50 pounds of robe and then a massive helmet. And for one of the knights Husseini. And one of the articulated stilts broke as I was walking out, and I fell to my knees in front of the entire audience.
Oh, no.
And he's supposed to be this large, character looming over King Arthur, and Davis Gaines, our King Arthur, is already a large man, and he took a second and then got down on his knees on stage with me, and then everyone else, because he's King Arthur, also because he's Davis Gaines,
right?
Also got down on their knees. So, 25 people on stage took to their knees for the rest of the...
Except for the one dude who wasn't paying attention to the back and felt terrible. Yeah. That is so... Well, and obviously, Davis always plays royal... He's a friend of the show, and we've interviewed him here, but he always plays those royal characters so well. He's got that in him.
He has a gravitas.
There's no doubt. Yes. Absolutely. Well, yeah, so were you injured at all? Were you okay?
I was completely fine. Luckily, that large rope...
Thank goodness.
But it was both the most horrifying moment and now one of my favorite moments that has ever happened on stage.
Well said. Yeah, because you see, and that's exactly what the segment is about, is how do you transfer that? And when you take something like that happens live and you can handle it in character despite the utter farce of that situation with the Knights Husseini, that's a great moment to hold on to.
Melissa.
Do you have anything for us?
I have a couple things.
Uh-huh. I thought you never made mistakes. I thought nothing ever happened. Hold on.
The first one that came to mind, I have another one, but the first one that came to mind was when we did a class act a year ago, and Kay Cole,
incredible
Kay Cole, was our director, and that was such a special piece to do, just because I love a chorus line, and I love the music. Zach played Marvin Hamlisch in it, which you were brilliant, and I saw that spell a lot, and you were amazing. And the drums were outstanding.
They were really, really good.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So anyway, so we're doing a class act, one night only. We have our scripts. And, the line at the end of, at the ballet, I was pretty, I was happy, I would love to at the ballet. So my line was, I was happy. There were three different girls doing it. And the first girl said her line, I was pretty. And I said, and I was the second girl, I would love to. And I was so in it. I don't even know if you remember it, but I was so in it. And I thought, oh, my God. And after me just kind of went, I would love to as well.
I
bowed and when I saw Kay after the show,
I'm so sorry.
I thought, this is your one time. So those are the kind of things that could happen if you come see musical theater. Little mistakes could happen, and you just have to smile and keep going.
Well, I wanted to capture the singing you just did for us here and use it as soundbite. Even that was so beautiful. Even her mistakes are gorgeous, Michael. I'm not sure that's entirely fair.
So true.
Unbelievable.
It's the joy of live theater. Never the same performance.
Did you say you have another one as well?
I do, and I'll make it really quick. When I was doing Wicked and we were on the Tonys, and that was a huge moment, and I thought, oh my God, I'm on the Tonys, I'm at Radio City, it's live, and we performed twice on the show. We were in the opening, which was amazing. We came up on the risers that the Rockettes come up on, and that was amazing. But then we did Defying Gravity, and they set Adina up with the crane to make her fly, and myself and another amazing actor, Walter O'Neill. I don't know if you know Walter O'Neill. He and I had done all the workshops and readings together. He and I were always the first one out under the cape when she flies, And we were always the first one out, and we said, oh, my God, we're going to be the first ones out on national TV. Isn't this exciting? And we're holding hands, and we get ready, and we run out, and there's dry ice on the ground, which we should have been used to, but not at Radio City.
Of course.
Where it's already slick. We went out, and I just
fell. No.
So I watched it later at like 3 in the morning after all the parties, and we lost, and it was terrible. And I was tipsy. I came home, and I said, let me put it on. And I put it on, and I see myself run out and poop just drop out of the smoke. And I just couldn't stop laughing. And I looked down at my legs.
Oh, no.
They were completely bruised. Black and blue. But then the great part of the story is that I popped back up and said, look at her. She's wicked. Get me. So I was down, and then you see this arm just come right back up.
That's, and then from out of the audience, Davis Gaines comes up and gets down on one knee and saves the show. That
and
is,
then
oh
everyone
my
dropped
now,
down.
You were in your Glinda character?
No, I was it when I was doing an ensemble track.
Oh, okay.
No, it was when I was
That's
doing an ensemble. Yeah. No. Kristen was nominated for Tony that night.
I know.
Too.
Wow.
I know.
Maybe it was a
weird. But I did get to do the Tony rehearsals, which was great. I
that
got
must
to
have been
the bubble
cool.
At Radio City, and that was really fun.
Wow. So you defied gravity all on your own there. Well done.
I defied it. So another appalling story.
Well, now I've obviously the audiences who come to see Sugar will get to see you in a very different role, but there's no doubt that this one night concert is a fun treat. It's a very easy show to go watch, and it's probably your only chance to see this musical. I've never seen it produced before, so I'm excited and looking forward to it. Again, the date is Sunday, September 24th, 2017, at 7 p.m. at the Alex Theater, located at 216 North Brand Boulevard in Glendale, California.
And for further information, call 818-243-2539 for tickets, and they're very modestly priced for this type of a production and that type of theater. A beautiful theater. Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles are the producers. Go to their website, musicaltheaterguild.com, to learn even more about this, and or alextheater.org.
That's right. We'd also encourage you to go visit the Gary Marshall Theater, which of course has historically been known as the Falcon Theater. Same great quality there, I'm sure, as they open their new season with Masterclass. And of course, if you want to go see that, you can visit their box office at Gary Marshall Theater, theater with an RE.org, or you can always call them at 818-955-8101. We'd encourage you to visit Performing Arts Live and obviously Breakdown Services for all your needs in the entertainment industry. What great guest we had today, Michael.
Thank you guys for doing this.
Man, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Wow, our pleasure.
Best wishes with Sugar. Obviously a fun show, and we wish you all the best with that. We'll be there, hopefully, to see you.
So we'll
great.
Please
do.
To that. Please
we will.
Do.
And thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Michael. Hey, where do I see you next week?
Next week? On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.